Good morning, and welcome to worship on this Transfiguration Sunday. It's also Valentine's Day, a day of hearts and cards and chocolates and perhaps roses, or maybe not. It might be a day to celebrate, or it could be a bittersweet day to reflect on love lost, or the one who got away, or dear loved ones who have shared this day with us in the past, but are no longer with us. Now, you may have noticed that I decided to leave the clerical collar at home today and dress for Valentine's Day. Clerical collars are not really very romantic. Felicia and I are celebrating our 43rd Valentine's Day together. We never could have predicted that our journey would lead us to an island in the Puget Sound. Now, speaking of the unpredictable nature of life, hold on to your easy chair and hold on to your coffee, for we are going together on a supernatural adventure today. So let's head into worship. We'll join Carl in singing a song that has become a part of the fabric of our shared life. Mine is the church where everybody's welcome. I know it's true because I got through the door. It's good that we're here. I'll light the candles. I'll see you up front. The day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Join me, if you will, in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for letting us in the door. Thank you for showing us a more excellent way. Thank you for reminding us that we just work here, and you are the host who invites all to worship. Cast out all envy, arrogance, and self-righteousness, that we may worship you and serve each other. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Marilyn Buckner is up in Coopville, and she's going to read for us this morning. Marilyn, happy Valentine's Day to you and to Lynn. How about sharing a little love with us?
The lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I will show you a still more excellent way, love. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now faith, hope, and love abide these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Marilyn. A more excellent way, just what the doctor ordered. Carl's going to sing for us now. Carl, this is our 31st Valentine's Day together. We've made it longer than most marriages. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for sharing with us this morning. Carl?
In the love come from God, I now entreat you, put away all your cares, and be free of every possession. Coming freely to love and to serve and to honor the Lord. Let us adore the Lord with a pure heart and mind. Let us adore.
Thanks, Carl. The love chapter of 1 Corinthians on Valentine's Day. How beautiful, how fitting, how insightful, how romantic. Now, there is a tradition at Trinity Lutheran Church. When Valentine's Day falls on a Sunday, every 7 years or so, we invite people to come forward to the chancel here and renew their marriage vows during the worship service. Now, on occasion, we have even had an actual wedding during the service on a Sunday morning. The financial savings for the bride and the groom are substantial. A Valentine's Day renewal of vows, standing in front of the altar, holding hands with their current mate. Vows are exchanged after years or decades of living, loving, saving, spending, raising children, arguing, suffering, and celebrating together. Now, I should say right up front that I prefer vow renewals to actual weddings. Why, you ask? Because the couple who renews their vows after 40 or 50 years, well, they know exactly what they are signing on for. They have seen better or worse, richer or poorer, good moods and bad, sickness and health, and they know what those vows mean. That is not necessarily true for a couple of 21-year-olds who are more worried about the beer at the reception or the honeymoon arrangements. Now, every time Valentine's Day falls on a Sunday, we celebrate with a vow renewal. My worship notes for this Sunday, scribbled in last year, said February 14th, 2021, vow renewal with a little smiley face. But guess what? Just one more cancellation in a year full of cancellations. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Now, it has been suggested as a little exercise to take that passage and replace the word love with your name. Go ahead and try it. Jim is patient and kind. Jim is not envious or boastful. You get the idea. And if you are boastful or arrogant, this little exercise will most certainly humble you. Let me read one more verse from the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. This one did not make it into the reading that Marilyn shared with us this morning, but it's worth considering on this Transfiguration Sunday. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is describing the reality of the human journey and the hope that one day we will see God face to face and come to some better understanding. The season of Epiphany draws to a close this morning. Every year on a mountaintop not far from Nazareth and Cana, we climb up that mountain with Jesus. The transfiguration is as strange and mysterious as anything that ever happened in Roswell, New Mexico. Yes, something out of the ordinary happened that day on the mountaintop. It was unexpected, and it could not be explained. It was, might we say, out of this world. So let's travel an uncertain road to Transfiguration, to the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and here we will find a metaphor, perhaps, a metaphor for marriage and for the journey that is before all of us. Jesus hiked up Mount Tabor to pray. He took with him Peter and James and John, and it is safe to say that life would never be the same for any of them. You see, Jesus' days in the Galilee were over now. His time in Capernaum had come to an end. Fishing with his disciples would be but a memory now. And he would never visit his mother's home in Nazareth ever again. This strange event on a mountaintop marked the point of no return for Jesus and for the disciples. It had been 3 years now since Jesus had waded into the waters of the Jordan, 3 years since the heavens had been torn apart as the Holy Spirit of God descended upon Jesus, calling him to leave the tools of the carpenter's shop behind. Something supernatural happened on that mountaintop, and life would never be the same. Up till now, it had been relatively safe to follow Jesus. You see, no one really cared. No one really cared if these uneducated fishermen wanted to waste their time and their lives following this small town rabbi. But that was about to change. Jesus went up the mountain to pray. When they finally made it up that mountain, the disciples were tired out from the hike, and they fought sleep. Now, I have been to that mountaintop many times in my life. My Trinity Lutheran Church travelers are shuttled up in a comfortable van. On the rapid ascent, the views are amazing as we encounter one switchback after another, speeding past younger pilgrims who take turns carrying the cross up the steep slopes of Mount Tabor. After hiking up the mountain, the disciples fought sleep. They waited as Jesus prayed. 2,000 years ago, with no warning or expectation, suddenly the supernatural broke in. A cloud overshadowed the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured. What does that mean? I don't know. It was supernatural. It was beyond explanation. Supernatural is, by definition, beyond explanation. What happened? His appearance changed. His clothes appeared to be a dazzling white. There was an aura about him, but that's not all. Appearing with him were the biggest names in the history of Israel, the heroes of the Old Testament, the prince of Egypt, the giver of the law, yes, Moses himself, long buried somewhere in Jordan, now stood very much alive with Jesus. And Elijah, the great prophet who was last seen on a chariot of fire, leaving earth on a non-stop, no mask needed flight to heaven, he too was standing now with Jesus. The disciples thought they had seen it all. Miracles and wonders, walking on water, raising the dead were all part of daily life with Jesus. But they had never seen anything like this. They did not know what to say. But that never stopped Peter, did it? It never stopped him. He interrupted, calling out. He said, hey, I've got a great idea. Let's build a church. Better yet, we could build three, one for each of you. Now, he barely completed his sentence when the heavens began to roll like thunder, and the mountain began to shake underneath them. Holy smoke, something was happening. The disciples fell to the dust in fear and trembling. And it was then that the voice of God rumbled through the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And just like that, it was over. The supernatural gave way to the natural once again. The natural order was restored. The fog lifted, the sun reappeared, and the heroes of the faith, they were gone. Jesus walked over to the disciples, shaking in the dust from which they were formed. Jesus knelt down and touched them. He picked them up from their paralyzing fear. He brushed them off, and they headed down that mountain together toward Jerusalem. You see, there was a cross waiting for them in Jerusalem. Life would never be the same. The peaceful days in the Galilee were over. An uncertain future was right there before them. Now, my friends, I cannot tell you what happened on that mountaintop, but somehow it gave Jesus the strength to face his death. Somehow it provided hope for the disciples in the dark days ahead when there was precious little hope to be found. The transfiguration story is a fitting metaphor for our lives. What does it mean? What does it mean to hold hands and to stare into someone's eyes, promising to journey into the future together 50 or 60 years, not knowing what waits for them until death parts them? What does it mean to hold a newborn and to know that that little one is totally dependent upon you, and to know that somehow your happiness is now totally dependent upon theirs? What does it mean to hold 6 pounds of flesh and realizing that quite suddenly your life has become infinitely more terrifying and your heart more vulnerable than you ever could have imagined? What does it mean to punch the clock on your final day of work, not knowing what next Monday will bring? What does it mean to walk out of the doctor's office after being told to put your affairs in order? What does it mean to face a pandemic, lonely days of isolation, and long months of not worshiping together? What will it be like to resume a more normal life again? Or will life never be the same? Life would never be the same for the disciples. They had unexpectedly reached a point of no return. This is a fitting metaphor for Valentine's Day. It's a fitting metaphor for marriage, a fitting metaphor for the human journey. You see, the truth is, we live by faith. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. Who could have predicted the changes that were in store for us in 2020? And who would venture to predict what waits for us in the months and years ahead? What are we to learn this day? What lessons will give us the courage to step into the future? First, know that God is working. It might not always appear that way. It might seem sometimes like God is sleeping on the job, but God is working. Most of the time hidden, mysterious, unexplainable, otherworldly, but God is working, and God is working in you. God is working through the hands and feet of first responders and vaccine scientists and caring people who send cards to encourage grieving neighbors. God is working. God has never stopped working. Now, our calling is to be a part of God's work, to be a partner in the healing of the world and our country and our community. Abraham Lincoln famously said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." Let's wake up each morning and make the decision to be on God's side. What does that look like? "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Love God by loving your neighbor. Love. What is this thing called love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. What do we learn from this otherworldly transfiguration. The next thing we learn is that God is not afraid. God is not afraid to get down into the dust, your dust and mine. God's not afraid to get into the dust and pick us up. And what a tender moment that is. You see, Jesus did not just call out to his disciples, and he didn't call them out either. No, he got down in the dust with them. He picked them up and he brushed them off. You see, God is not afraid to meet us in the darkest, dirtiest places of our lives. No, we are not alone. We cannot be alone. God is love, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not disease, not pandemic, not dust, not addiction, not financial ruin, and not death. And finally, we learn that we now see in a mirror dimly. God's created order is beyond our comprehension. Time, space, light years, black holes, quantum physics. Einstein and Hawking barely scratched the surface. Most of it remains a mystery. And closer to home, we do not understand why the good die young. We do not understand why we must endure the trials and tribulations of this life. I think I speak for all of us when I say this past year has been challenging. If you would have told us last Valentine's Day what was ahead, we never would have believed it. And if we did believe it, we would have been paralyzed by anxiety. And I will admit to you that I'm weary and I'm worn down. But as the vaccines roll out and spring moves closer, I am also exceedingly optimistic. I believe that we can and will make a difference together, one act at a time. We will never stop the rain by complaining. No, complaining will get us nowhere. But together, we can accomplish great things. A little weary, yes. But the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps out to greet me. I believe that. And that is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till a happiness steps up to greet me. Well, raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free, nothing's worrying me, nothing's worrying me.
We lift our hearts and our lives to God in prayer. Each petition this morning will end, we pray, and we have a sung response together, Change My Heart, O God.
In the prayers today, each petition ends, Transformed by Your Love, we pray. And the sung response is, Change My Heart, O God. We'll sing that response once now and then once after each petition.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Guided by Christ, made known to the nations, we offer our prayers.
God of beauty, we give thanks this day for the creation that surrounds us. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, air, water, and fire, animals and plants of every description. May we be guided by your love as we seek to steward your creation, ensure its survival, and provide for the equitable use of its resources so all might live abundantly. Transformed by your love, we pray.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
God of justice, hear the cries of your children throughout the world as they cry for an end to violence, for fair treatment, no matter their religion, race, orientation, or gender, for safe and healthy living situations. And hear also the cries of joy from the lips of those whose health has been restored, whose families have returned, whose governments, such as in Libya, are making strides toward peace. And for those who have had relationships of conflict transformed into situations of love. Let us be agents in fostering a church, island, and world where all people are respected and loved. Let us dare to see your people as the beautiful creations they are and defend their right to worship, live, and love as those they choose. Transformed by your love, we pray.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
God of grace, we thank you for this community of Trinity Lutheran Church. We give thanks for the many hands and hearts that reach out to pray, to play, to lift, heal, and carry. For those who work, sing, garden, vaccinate, type, donate, and play with kids and adults in this service of ministry. May this church family continue to make a difference in the lives of those who need locally and globally, and change this world with your love. Transformed by your love, we pray.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring before you these prayers and whatever else you see that we need. In the name of the one who sets us free to serve, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a sign of peace and greeting with someone this day. Offer a word of grace and hope to someone who needs to hear from you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Just a few announcements this morning. First of all, the beautiful altar flowers right behind me were given by Sandy Siebert and Catherine Rawlings in memory of dear loved ones. Thank you, Sandy and Catherine. Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday as we enter into this Lenten season and this journey towards Holy Week and Easter. Ash Wednesday from noon until 1 p.m. for 1 hour, out in the parking lot. Deacon Amy and I are going to be out in the parking lot to meet you as you drive through for the imposition of ashes. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. I'm going to call upon Deacon Amy now as she has some announcements for us. Deacon Amy?
Thank you, Pastor Jim. This past Sunday at our Super Bowl of Caring food drive, we collected over 469 pounds of food for Good Cheer Food Bank. We sent another at least 200 pounds to Gifts from the Heart Food Bank in Coopville. Thank you for helping to feed our hungry neighbors. Adult education happens on Zoom at 9:30 every Sunday morning. This morning, Dinah Stinson continues her conversation on sovereignty. Next Sunday morning, Felicia Lindis will be talking about running a preschool during a pandemic. If you'd like to be on the email list for that Zoom link, contact us in the office. This morning, Sunday school will meet at 11 o'clock on Zoom, and next Sunday, confirmation class will meet at the same time. Every Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, our middle school students gather on Zoom for fun and games. If you'd like to be included on any of those email lists, give us a call in the office. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Amy. Appreciate your partnership in ministry. And we thank you all. Thank you for your support. Your generous support has allowed us to keep sharing the gospel, but also to keep sharing with many nonprofits here in the island and across the world. Thank you for your support. Now we dedicate our gifts and our very lives to God as we sing together with Carl, praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever, now and forever. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending song, Shower the People You Love with Love. Very fitting for Valentine's Day. Carl?
Join us singing James Taylor's Shower the People. One, two, three.
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. But tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing the fool? One thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine. Just shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better if you only will. You can run, but you cannot hide. This is widely known. And what you plan to do with your foolish pride when you're all by yourself alone. Once you tell somebody the way that you feel, you can feel it beginning to ease. I think it's true what they say about the squeaky wheel, always getting the grease. Better to shower the people you love with love, show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if you only will. Oh, just shower the people you love with love, show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna be much better. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
Sing it out now.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
You'll feel better right away.
Shower the people you love with love.
Don't take much.
Show
to
them
do
the way that you feel.
They say in
every
love.
Now, until next time, be safe, go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. We are one day closer.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thanksgiving to the living God. We were made to sing God's praises. Let the light within us shine. Tell the world the Lord of days is Lord of night and all of time. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Joy with joy, beat sad with sadness, singing praises all the time. Glory, glory, hallelujah.